This program is brought to you in part by the partners and friends of Creflo Dollar Ministries.
Coming up next on Changing Your World.
Sometimes it's knowing the joy that's ahead of you that can help you go through certain things in life. Sometimes it's the pain that you experience here and you think about the things that are above, you think about the things that are before you, the things that you're coming to. Jesus says, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross.
Hopefully you're going to choose to let heaven determine your thinking, because whatever choice you make, then that's going to be your mentality for today.
Can you say that he's a waymaker? Yes. Can you say that he's a God that sits high and looks low? Yes.
Get the message of grace any way you want. Stream service live, 10 a.m. Eastern Time on Sunday, with re-airs at 2 p.m., 6 p.m., and 10 p.m. Eastern Time.
This is your world, so let's vow to make it a better place. Let every heart that needs to know your love is here to stay. Oh, it's time we live a new life. Oh, let us love shine bright in you. We're saved by his grace, so we embrace your love today. We are changed.
If you have your Bibles, open your Bibles up with me to the book of St. John, chapter 8, verses 3 through 11. We've been talking about God's way versus man's way. And there are some things that I believe you'll get a hold of today that will be life-changing. Verse 3, St. John chapter 8, verse 3, he says, and the scribes and Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they say unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what sayest thou? And this they say, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground, as though he heard them not. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, he that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the elders, even unto the last, and Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. And when Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, Woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? She said, No man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Now, under the law, which Jesus was a priest operating on, it would have been absolutely according to the law to take this woman and to have her to be stoned to death. But Jesus said, I don't condemn you. Go, knowing that I don't condemn you. Go, knowing that I don't condemn you, and with this gift of no condemnation, sin no more. Now that's God's way of dealing with this under the new covenant. It's certainly not man's way. The law was something that God brought down on man's level. Man's way is equivalent to the law. But Jesus said, that's not my way. I know what the law said, and I know what you were caught doing. But where everybody else that was caught doing something, why they didn't throw the stone? Amen. Jesus said, now it is going to be possible for you to carry out this appeal. Go and sin no more, because where there is no condemnation, there is now the power to be able to overcome what overcame you. Amen. Now look at what Jesus said in the book of John 3:17, because while God is very concerned about keeping the lives of his people free from worldly things, yeah, there's nothing about what I just said that gave you an license to go and just do something crazy. There's nothing about what I just said that said adultery is right. Nothing. God is very concerned about keeping the lives of his people free from worldly things. But his approach is way different from condemnation. Look what Jesus said in John 3, verse 17. He said this, "For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." So there are unsaved people doing all kinds of crazy stuff. And the Bible says Jesus was not sent to condemn all these unsaved people. And yet church people love sitting back condemning people who are not born again and people who are born again. You think that that's the thing God has called you to do, and he has not called you to condemn the world. Jesus says, "I didn't come to this world to condemn it. I didn't come to this world to judge all of the stupid, crazy stuff that's going on. They've already tried that before time. There's a new way of doing this." And he says, "I didn't come to condemn the world, but that the world through me might be saved without condemnation." If you ain't no good, you know you ain't no good. You don't need me to tell you how no good you're not. Your conscience takes care of that. But he said, "For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." Now, this is going to be very interesting now, because we're going to talk about the new and living way. All right, if we don't beat people up, then how are they going to change? If we don't convict people of their sins, how are they going to change? God never called us to convict people of our sins. He gave us the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the one that will not only convict, I like this word, he convinces you that's probably what you don't need to be doing. I mean, by the time you called your wife stupid and then she done got a gun, you're convinced, "I probably don't need to call her stupid no more." So listen to me carefully now. This is interesting. There are two methods that the Lord uses to draw the hearts of man away from this present world. Two methods that he uses to draw the hearts of man from worldly things. Here's the first method: by setting before man the attractiveness and the stability of things that are above. He says, "I can change a man by making my ways so attractive, not by beating him up, but showing him the beauty that comes by seeking the things that are above." We have not done a very good job of teaching the attractiveness of the things that are above. We spend a lot of time with the condemning people, but folk don't talk about heaven like they used to. The attractiveness of what is to come once you leave this world. The attractiveness of the grace of God. The attractiveness of seeking those things that are above, seeking eternal things. The attractiveness of, you just don't see that. And I sat and thought about this. I'm like, just start thinking about the attractiveness of the things that exist that you don't experience right now. A heaven where there's no more crying there.
Glory to God.
A heaven where you have a body, but it's been renovated.
Kiraboshata.
A place where you have stepped out of time into eternity. A place where there are no more tears. And the greatest thing about what we have to look forward to is that we're going where Jesus is. We're going where God is. The greatest thing for you to recognize is one day you're going to be done down here and you're going to be absent from the body and present with the Lord and all of the stuff, no more stress. No more stressing out over the comment sections of the Facebook. No more stressing out over this. No more worrying. No more gossiping. No more backbiting. No more hurt. No more pain. Nobody else dying with you no more. None of that is over with. We have lost the attractiveness of what is to come. Seek those things that are above and not the things that are on the earth. And I tell you, we have been inundated with doing everything we can to be successful here. Oh my goodness. One day you're gonna slip out of this body and you're gonna walk in a new glorified body that Jesus demonstrated when he was resurrected from the dead. And the Bible says he walked through the door being shut. Yeah. And then he sat down and ate. Somebody asked me, will we eat anything in heaven? Yeah, Jesus ate in his glorified body. He ate some fish and honeycomb. Somebody asked, will we know one another when we get to heaven? Well, will you know one another when you get to Texas? You'll still have your soul with you. Hallelujah. You got to understand, you're going to be in an atmosphere. You're going to find out the power and the impact of real, pure, genuine love. Oh, glory to God. Well, will we have clothes? You won't have artificial clothes. You're going to slip out of your last outfit. The day you die, whatever you had on that day, you're going to slip out that. Because you will never again need artificial clothing. Where'd you get that from? Adam and Eve, before they sinned, they were covered, but not with artificial clothing. They were covered with the glory of God. Now, this is something I can tell you about because I saw it. I don't care if you believe what I just said. That truck turned over 20-something years ago. And those angels went by me, and they were not exposed. They were clothed. But the only way I can describe it, their clothes and their skin was like it was one. They were clothed in light. That's the best way I can. They had facial eyes and characteristics, but it was, when you look, there was no exposure a body, it was clothed in glory. That's exactly what Adam and Eve were clothed in. They were covered in glory. But the day that they sinned, they lost their glory coat and had to go and try to cover themselves with fig leaves. When you leave and go to heaven, you will be covered with the glory. Ain't no more Hugo Boss, ain't no more none of the stuff but brands you got. You got the greatest brand that nobody on this planet can manufacture. It's the glory of God. Now, I tell you, I got to be careful talking about this because some of you walk out here like, I'm ready to go. Seek the things that are above. You keep looking and allowing the stuff that you're going through now to govern your life, and you forget about the better that is to come, the greatest that is to come. Oh, my goodness, praise the Lord. And there will be times where you will meet family members that you hadn't even heard about yet. There will be a great gathering in heaven, praise the Lord, as we come together and to worship the only one that is worthy to be worshiped. It is the Lamb of God. The Lamb of God will step in that room, and everybody will fall down and begin to declare glory, glory, glory to the highest, glory to the Lamb of God. Somebody said, well, that sounds kind of boring. Oh, no, why? Because somebody told you there's not going to be any work in heaven. There are several scriptures that talk about the work we have to do in heaven. Yeah, you're going to be working. If you don't like working here, listen, you don't want to go to heaven. You still going to have a job to do. Well, I just don't believe. You will when you die. But I'm trying to tell you now, my God, my life is all about screaming loud, trying to get you to see. Do not buy the deceptions of this world. Seek the things that are above. The stuff here is so minute once you get to the real. I preached a sermon years ago called, Is the Physical World Really Real? Because you got to understand that everything that's physical came out of stuff you can't see. Their spiritual gave birth to the physical. Glory to God. You couldn't have no physical realm if there were not first a spiritual realm. Everything that exists here came out of stuff you can't see. Everything that you can see and comprehend and touch here was born out of stuff you can't see and comprehend and touch. And everything in this physical world has an expiration. Things you can't see are eternal. Are eternal. Things you can see are temporary. There are things that used to exist 10,000 years ago. They're not there no more. And you're still trying to gain something that's temporal. The thing you ought to be gaining is Christ. Because everything else you do will disappear. Only what you will do for Christ will last. Now let's look at some scriptures here. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 through 2. Presenting the attractiveness and the stability of the things that are above. Colossians 3, 1 and 2. If you then be risen with Christ, if you're born again and you got up from your dead state of sin, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. That's what I'm seeking. Every day, there are certain things about this world that are diminishing in my eyes. I just don't see it the way I used to. It matters little to me what you think about me. I'm not trying to like get back with you or nothing like that. I'm trying to talk like you in your own shoes, because too many of you continue to allow it to matter what people think about you. And that takes up an amazing amount of time in your life. I'm not seeking only what I can have here. I'm seeking the thing that's above, where Christ sits on the right hand. Look at verse 2. Set your affection on things above. Where are your affections? Where are your affections? Because most of us as church people, our affections are not on the, we forget about the thing that's above. Our affection's not there. He says, don't set your affections on the things on the earth. Look at verse 2 in the NLT. Don't set your affections on the things of the earth. Set your affections on the things that are above. He says, think about the things of heaven. Don't think about the things of earth. Think about the thing. Every time you see something in your life that happens, let it move you to think about the things of heaven. What's going to be different in heaven versus what's going on right now? there's one thing I have no doubt about, that everybody in here, including me, will pass one day. You're gonna die. Not yet. But how do you plan on handling the reality of heaven if you have doubted it so much while you were on the planet? I can't deal with that. Death is a part of life. And I want to do as much as I can, although not going to be perfect, not going to be flawless, but as much as I can so I can stand before God and say, Lord, I did all I knew to do. Thank you for the help, but you promised me you would finish me. And I'm looking forward for him finishing me. And be careful before you pronounce somebody to hell because of the thing they did. I'm sure there were many people that woman who was caught in adultery, I'm sure many of them said, she going to hell. We got to stop doing that. That person going to hell, that person going to hell, that person going to hell. A hit dog will holler the loudest, you better be quiet. That's not what we're supposed to be doing. Condemning people to hell. That's not what we're supposed to be doing. We seek and think about the things that are above. It may seem small, it'll change your daily life as you start thinking about the things that are above. Look at this scripture. Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God, primarily the kingdom of God, and all these other things shall be added unto you. We're seeking the things to be added unto us. He says, seek the kingdom first. Seek the kingdom first. Look at Hebrews chapter 12 and 2 in the NLT. Hebrews chapter 12 and 2 in the NLT. He says, we do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus. Keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame. Now he is seated in the place of honor besides God's throne. Can you imagine being on the cross after being beat up and whipped with a cat of nine tails? Can you imagine? You imagine how difficult and weird it is to read him saying, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. His motivation for enduring something hard and painful and shameful was what he could see ahead, the joy that was ahead of him. Sometimes it's knowing the joy that's ahead of you that can help you go through certain things in life. Sometimes it's the pain that you experience here and you think about the things that are above, you think about the things that are before you, the things that you're coming to. Jesus says, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. There's a joy that's set before you. There's a joy that's set before me to help us to have endurance and patience. It's just what Taffy is talking about. Don't allow the lack of manifestations in your life to cause you to give up, cave in, quit, get worried, get depressed, you know, turn nuts in what you're doing. Don't do that. Make your mind up for the joy that's set before me. Just think about heaven. There are times that this wonderful woman and I have gone through that you will never know about. But it was the joy that was set before us that kept us moving. Stuff that hurt. I remember we went through a pain that hurt so bad, we stayed in the house for 3 or 4 days. It was so painful. But for the joy that was set before us. It is not our job to get up here and complain about what we're going through, because everybody going through something. You ain't the only one going through nothing. You ain't never going to be the only one going through. But how you go through it. For the joy that's set before you.
Do you know who God really is? In Creflo Dollar's four-part series, The Truth About God's Ways, he highlights who God is and how his unique nature sets us free. This four-message series is available for a love gift of $25 or more for CDs or $35 or more for DVDs. To receive this series and discover God's loving nature, call the number on your screen, scan the QR code, or visit CreflodollarMinistries.org and click eStore today.
You can interact with Creflo Dollar Ministries anytime, anywhere. All of this is at your fingertips with our state-of-the-art custom-designed app. With the broadcast feature, you can access your favorite messages, sermon series, and more. Add events to your calendar, set reminders, get directions, share with friends, and even give securely through this platform. Visit CreflodollarMinistries.org/app or text APP to 51555 today.
Creflo Dollar Global Missions helps people all over the world receive healing and wholeness in every area of life. For example, we help those in need in our communities, those trapped in the sex entertainment industry, and children in orphanages and refugee camps. When we meet the physical needs of those hurting people, it gives us the opportunity to share the gospel of grace with them. So I want to thank you for helping us reach millions with the gospel.
Log on to our website at missions.creflodollarministries.org to see all the work we do at Creflo Dollar Global Missions. Thank you for your support.
Creflo and Taffy Dollar love connecting with you. And here at World Changers, we understand the importance of using technology to do just that. We're constantly working to bring the gospel of Christ to thousands of viewers and followers around the world, and we want you to get involved. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube. We want to make the word of grace available throughout every voice of social media.
Because of you, Creflo Dollar Ministries is providing a new understanding of grace and empowering change in the lives of millions of people every day. Thank you, partners and friends. Your love and financial support makes it possible to bring this message into millions of homes all across the globe. The preceding program was brought to you in part by the partners and friends of Creflo Dollar Ministries.